You're listening to Maximum Medicine Radio with host Doc Martin. Stay tuned in or call in. You won't want to miss what's happening next. How do you step into your maximum potential? How do you connect your spiritual drive with your physical path? Stick around as Doc Martin takes listeners on a journey through the seen and unseen, the accepted and the unbelievable. Get ready to meet the maximum you the world needs on Maximum Medicine Radio with Doc Martin now. Hi, everybody. I'm Doc Martin, Maximum Medicine. And I have a new Zoom background. And I just want to give a shout out to this ornamental cherry. It blooms exactly this time of year. It's blooming outside now. And it is the most spectacular. So I'm celebrating that tree today. So even though it's a Zoom background, I hope you can see it and just go, wow. We're going to talk about exciting things today. I have with me Nancy Shobe. Now, I'll keep calling her Nancy because that's how I first met her, but she's going to go by Annie from now on, just in case you do work with her.
Except for family.
Anyway, we'll just, you know, you can shapeshift to anything you want these days. So I'm going to ask her to tell us about herself in just a minute, because she started out working her way through into the spirit world, and now she's actually a medium and she works in hospice. And I want to hear all about that, because I love hearing when people can see things from the other side. And I know you guys all love learning. Some people are just, I think it's lucky that they get to see stuff. I'm always jealous. But anyway, Annie, let's start by talking about, you've had some childhood experiences that kind of catapulted you into the spirit world. Why don't you tell us about those?
Sure. It's kind of the experience that no one really wants to have. I actually was 6 years old and I grew up in Michigan, and my brothers were out playing ice hockey out on a river. And I have a blessing and a curse of being so curious about everything. So I went out onto the river, the frozen river, to go watch them, and I fell through the ice. So what I remember when I fell through the ice is that, sorry, it still gets me a little emotional talking about it, but I remember I was in a, if anyone's grown up in the Midwest or anywhere where it's cold, it's, you have those big old snowsuits that they put you in as a little kid. So I was in a snowsuit and I had the big rubber boots on and everything, and was all packaged up with mitts and a hat and everything. And
heavy stuff that when it got wet was pulling you down.
It drops you, yeah. And I just, I don't remember actually cracking through the ice. I just remember being under the water. And I remember looking up through the ice, and it was like my grandfather used to let me put on his prescription eyeglasses, you know, when I was a little girl. And it looked that same way, that wavy sort of very gray and kind of surreal looking. And then I remember I got so cold, I became hot. So I'm sure hypothermia was starting to set in because the water was so cold under the ice. And then I just remember being held by the hole in the ice. Now the river was moving underneath the water, I mean underneath the ice. So I just remember feeling like it was a feminine presence holding me, like, so almost like my back was to the person's chest and just being held. And I think it was because of that that my brother could save me, because this certainly would have dropped like a ton of bricks. And he He still won't talk about it, so I don't really know. It's very traumatic for him as well. So I know he won't. I've asked him if he'll sit down and just talk about it with me, but he's not ready to. And that's the thing about trauma. When we're ready, and no one can force it, can force that healing on us. So all I remember after that, I remember a light as I looked up through the ice, but I believe it was the sun coming through the ice and that hole. I don't know. I didn't have the experience of traveling to the light. I just had this experience of this feminine presence that I would just call what felt like very angelic for me being held there. And thankfully, that from feminine presence helped save my life and my brother, thank goodness for his quick thinking. And then the next thing I remember was my mom's face, like being there and grabbing me. So I don't know what happened in
You
between.
know, I'm reminded, do you remember it was about 20 years ago? And there was a woman that she was, I believe, Canadian, and she and her one of her children, I might not have all the details exactly right, were driving over a bridge, and the car went over the bridge and they went into the water and they were drowning. But
Okay.
all of a sudden, she had angelic presence all around her. And she was, now you were only six, so I don't expect they would have given you a big message about how to be in the world.
Right.
But she was given a big message of what became sort of, I would call it an energetic awareness, of fire the grid. Of this grid
Wow.
encircling the earth, and points of light at each of the intersections in the grid, and that our job was to basically put our light into this grid. Do you
Wow.
remember? I don't remember her name,
Yeah.
maybe Susan, but many people read her book. And it just strikes me that so many times when I talk to people who have been given this spiritual experience where you all of a sudden have something miraculous or you feel angels or you feel something, it's often in a time of really bad physical human hardship. You're drowning. You're the at the worst depression you could ever be. You were drinking, you finally hit rock bottom. You can't go on anymore. You're at the end of your tether, literally about to go over the edge, and something miraculous happens. I mean, I just think about that, the times when people bring that information forward. It's often followed by a really scary moment where they're held and they're safe.
Completely. And love, the love. I wish there was some way to manifest that feeling of love. I mean, we all know how it feels to be loved, but magnify that by like 100 million times. And that's the love that comes from, it's so pure. It's just, I don't, it's so filled with light and so pure and so. It's like we don't even have a word for it here, but it's just pretty amazing.
So that is kind of like the experience that most times when I'm starting to want to talk to people who have these moments, and I interviewed a guy, Patrice Krestowiak, who was at his wit's end, depression financially. He balances his time between France and Portugal. And he started meditating, guided by a monk, I believe, and started meditating. And in about 6 months, all of a sudden, he's able to see things about people, to intuit, medically intuit, to feel, to get images, to get messages. And he
Wonderful.
starts just bringing them forward. He's a very powerful medical intuitive, and he channels a healing. And he isn't exactly clear where it comes from because he doesn't question. He just is present for that gift.
Wow.
And what I find interesting is that you ha are now doing hospice work.
Let me clarify.
Okay.
I'm doing administrative work for hospice. So I do work a lot with the dying and with grief in my personal life, but with the hospice here, I actually do administrative work. So I'm behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I'm going to say energetically, you're not behind the scenes. But
Probably, probably.
it's interesting, though, that that's the arena you are offering service in now in the human world.
It is. And I also do spiritual readings and spiritual coaching on my own independently. But if I can I just swing back to my near-death experience for a minute too?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So if we go forward from there, I had a really weird I always think that those experiences really bring us, they bring us to a new world. We've kind of, I call it wind walking. We've walked on the wind to the other side and we've come back. So with it, if you think about the wind and just kind of the feeling it gives us, and also the noise wind makes, so that's, I feel like that's what it does. It like opens up so many sensory parts of us that we didn't know before. But I think, I can't, I wish I could remember the exact timing, but there was a movie that came out probably about 5 years ago. And it was with a woman from the This Is Us, Christy something. And in the movie, she loses her son. Well, almost loses him. He almost drowns and falls under the ice. I knew the movie had come out, but
That rocked you, I bet.
well, what happened was, I was working and you get busy with work. And one day it was like 3 in the afternoon and I was driving back from a meeting back toward my home. And I clairvoyant or clairaudiently heard, go turn around and go to the movie. And I was like, what? It's like 3 in the afternoon. I'm not going. It's like, doesn't make any sense. So, I'm like, okay, because I've learned to listen. So I turned my car around and I went to the movie theater and I walked in, bought a ticket. I walk into the theater and I'm the only one in the entire theater. Never had that happen at a movie. It doesn't matter if it's matinee, evening, never had that happen in my life. So I sit right like 10 rows up, right in the center. And, I didn't. I looked back for the exit signs, which was so weird because I know. I mean, I just walked in the theater, but a trauma therapist actually told me that often when they work with trauma patients, they tell them where the exits in the room are. Because if you need to leave, it's like a way to get out. You know how to get out. So I sat down in this movie, and I have to say, it wasn't the greatest movie. But it was all about this mother's experience with almost losing her son. And it was the power of prayer in this movie that brought him back. That's what they felt. And I think it was based on a real story. I'm not 100% sure about that. But I sat in that theater and I just sobbed. And I think I sobbed from like the moment he fell under the ice until the end of the movie. And I was just like, oh, thank you. What a healing
I
experience.
was just thinking, what a clearing of that traumatic imprint.
It was literally, I felt very divinely guided because it was like, I, clairaudiently heard turn around, and then I listened, and then I was in that theater all by myself, and I tend to be kind of private with my emotions. So I think if I had been in the theater with even 10 other people, I wouldn't have cried like I did. So it was just such a, it was like, oh. So I really always encourage people when you get those nudges or those instant, like, I have to do this, do it. Because it's you're being nudged, spirit's trying to wake you up and to have you do something.
So when did you first realize that you could hear or see things in the unseen world? Like how when did you recognize that you had clairaudience or clairvoyance?
I would say in college. So before that, I'm quite different than the other members of my family, and I'm empathetic, like overly empathetic to things. And I have th three brothers who always used to laugh at me because, like, I'd watch Little House on the Prairie and I'd be in tears, sobbing on the floor because she lost her dog, or I would just
You're a
be.
big mush.
I'm a big mush. But in college, I started getting dreams of deceased people coming to me and giving messages for their loved ones that are still here. And at first it was like, what am I supposed to do with it? It was like, it takes some courage. It takes some courage to start off telling people what you're getting. But it was kind of my very close friends. So I started telling them the messages, and I just kind of, it was like, oh, Nancy, it's Nancy's thing. Oh, Nancy has these weird things that happen. It was kind of just put off by the, kind of in that way. So that's, so it first came to me. I have to say, I feel spirit was gentle with me because it came to me in dreams before it came to me in other ways, which I might have freaked out. Like some people who just all of a sudden start seeing deceased people clairvoyantly. That would be tough to take at a young age.
So you work outside of your working in administrative in hospice. You are a spiritual medium.
I am.
When did that come about and what does that mean? So, like, pretend I don't have any clue and tell me what is a spiritual medium? What do they do?
So, I connect with the other side and I get information from a loved one who comes in, and then for whoever is the sitter is what we call it. And I just get evidence is what we call it about different things in that person's life, usually how they passed, something unique to that person, and then just start giving evidence so that they know it is their deceased loved one, and then giving any messages that come through.
So first, they're going to validate with you by telling you something that you, as the client, can't ignore because how would this person you never met before know this?
Correct.
And
And
then once they validate, now are you also validating because there it must take discipline to sort out, there's got to be a lot of different messages coming in.
there
Like,
can
how do you focus in? Do you have to be disciplined and train yourself to, maybe there's 10 people who want to say something for this client. How do you hone it down?
So for me, and each medium works differently, but so for me, what always comes through is I see them in a line, and then whoever wants to speak first is first in line. It's almost like being a school teacher. And then when they're finished speaking, then the next one shows up. Or sometimes the first person wants the whole hour or however long somebody wants to be connecting. I never know, sometimes I can have four or five people come through in a reading, and sometimes I have one. It just depends on, there's the, it's a three-legged triangle. There's the deceased loved one, and then there's their loved one here on this side, and then there's me. So it's all how it works together. And I always say,
Can you hear me? I lost you for a minute.
yeah, there was a moment of, what
Okay.
looked like.
Why don't we take a break here and then I can make sure that it's not my internet going haywire. Emily, let's go ahead and take a break.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Danae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDanae.com. That's DENEE.com.
It's what the world has been waiting for and needing for a really long time. Introducing you to Maximize Your Healing Power by Dr. Sharon Martin, available now. This book takes you on an empowering journey that teaches you how to have control over your own health, bridging the divide between Western medicine and shamanic practices of energy healing. Order today and get a free bundle of gifts from Dr. Sharon Martin and several of her partners. For more information, visit drsharonmartin.com.
Tune in on the first and third Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for creating connection of our diverse community. When we come together, the possibilities are endless. Visit me at C.
Are you ready to take a...
Hi, everybody. I'm Doc Martin, Maximum Medicine. We had a little technological blip in the radar there, so we took a quick break. I'm here now with Nancy Annie Shobe, and she is a spiritual medium. And I want to dig into a couple of things, Annie, if we could. When did you start knowing these information from the other side? And then how did you figure out, well, I'm going to be a medium? Didn't you have to have guidance and maybe even practice to make sure you're getting accurate messages? Tell me a little bit about your, you had to go to school, so to speak.
Right. School never ends, even on the other side.
Tell me about that. How old were you when you started knowing you were going to do this?
Oh my goodness. Well, it was probably 10 years ago, actually. I kept getting more and more information coming through. And then I thought, I didn't really know what a medium was, I have to be honest at first. And then I had some reading, so I started to understand it more. And of course, you start reading, at least for me, I love to educate myself. So I like read every spiritual book I could get my hands on, and started just trying to become more aware of different things spiritually. And then I took like a class in psychic work, which is just like, are you supposed to quit your job and get a new job or whatever, that kind of work. And then I went, we had a really close friend of the family who passed away. And I went to a medium that was at the Spiritualist Church here in Santa Barbara. And she's from England. Her name was, she's unfortunately crossed over, but her name was Mavis Patilla. And I went to the church with a girlfriend, and there were about 100 people there. And Mavis kept saying, there's a mom here, and she just lost her son, like just lost him. and yada yada yada, and everything was totally right, except for I wasn't his mom, but we were very close, the families. So she kept saying, okay, I'm not giving up until, because he's not leaving. And then she said, is there someone here who's like a mom to a man that this just passed away? So I raised my hand and she gave me a reading from him. And it was a week after he died. And then I always say she stood up there from the podium and she shook her wagged her mighty finger at me, and she said, you're a medium and you're not doing your work. And she said, you need to get more courageous and step forward into your work. And my girlfriend was next to me howling. She thought it was so funny, and I was like, oh, I'm glad you think it's funny. and then I the interesting thing was I knew the family. Of course, we were good friends of the family who passed away, but they didn't know my spiritual side. I knew them more from just general life, from our kids and everything. So then I had that really kind of awful moment of like, how do I present this message from their son when they don't really even know I'm, you know, like going to a medium, that I'm into spirituality. I don't know what their thoughts are on all of this. Mm-hmm. So I actually just sat in meditation with spirit and I heard, give them the option. So mm-hmm. I wrote them an email just, you know, about their grief and everything. And then just said, you know, this experience just happened. And if you'd like the message from him, let me know. If you think it's ridiculous and you don't want it, that's fine. I'll keep the message in my desk drawer forever. So whenever you want to hear it, let me know. And I was
what
like,
did they do?
I was like, Sharon, I was like, literally like, oh my gosh, this is like putting out my heart into my community, you know? And I was, and plus they're in their worst grief of their lives, you know, and they get like this message. Anyways, I didn't hear anything.
That was really, really vulnerable moment.
It was. And mm-hmm. I kept saying, I hope they don't think, you know, I hope they don't, they knew me well enough to know I wouldn't take advantage of them in any way and emotionally. So it's probably about a day and a half later, I heard back from the dad and he said, could you send us a message?
And was the message specific enough that they knew it was accurate?
Yeah, I believe so. He, you know, I've seen him in person a couple times since and stuff. And it's like, don't talk about it with me. Just, like, you know, now the young man's sister reaches out, like she'll say, she wrote me and said, if you ever get any messages from him, could you let me know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was that moment of like, oh my gosh, I've lived in my community like 25 years and now I have to.
Now you have to let them know you're really that crazy cat lady.
Just show up in this new light, you know.
Oh my.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm thinking, because over the years, what I've in my shamanic training, which involves intuition and sorting out information for people and the energetics, it strikes me that there's several things that are important when you might get all these messages. Well, first you have to have discernment.
Correct.
Which are the ones that are, you know, the most promising or important, that you have it in your visualization, you have it that they stand in line. So you know who's first.
Correct.
Other mediums might not do that, might not have that.
Absolutely.
Then you have to be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have to be ethical.
Correct.
Because there might be jibber jabs, you know, going on, but maybe it's not to your client's best interest to hear all this stuff.
Correct.
So that takes, I'm just imagining, that takes a lot of basically studying, practicing, being disciplined. So who did you train? Did you train with other mediums in order to verify your accuracy or to work on that?
Absolutely. I trained with Mavis Patilla, who's the woman who wagged her finger at me. actually, after the demonstration is what they call it when people are in a big group. Afterwards, I said to my girlfriend, I would do anything to study with her because Mavis was trained. There's a college in England that's actually kind of like the Hogwarts, where she got Hogwarts from, the Arthur Findlay College.
Right.
And so Mavis was a tutor there for years. And so weirdly, just timing wise, Mavis decided to start teaching independently of Arthur Findlay. So I was in like one of her first groups, her independent groups, and I studied with her. And you never stop studying. Like you know, you just keep going there because there's always more to learn. There's, you get deeper and deeper with information, new things expand that you never thought would start happening. And so now I study with another woman named Hazel Martin, who's out of the UK. The UK mm-hmm. has a really strong foothold in mediumship. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are places in the US too, but I would say the UK is probably the strongest.
Well, the place I'm familiar with in the United States is Lilydale, which is in southwestern New York. And they actually, some of the mediums there founded a school of spiritual prophecy. So you actually go and you have, you know, to learn how to be discerning, to be accurate, to be disciplined, to be ethical. And Lilydale in the summer, there are probably at least 40, maybe 45 mediums who live on campus in the summer. And it's a beautiful place to go. I'll just share a story. I've been there several times, but they have some trails through the woods, and there's a fairy trail. And I mean, you can feel the energy, and people have put down little houses and glittery things and gifts all along the path. But wow. They also have the walk through the pet cemetery kind of thing. And it's small, and you just circle through this grove of trees. I have never felt so much presence of animals who are loved and are gone, and the sadness associated with losing them. Mm-hmm. I mean, holy moly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just was so overwhelmingly powerful, the love and the missing them and the great companions that they were. But anyway, that's Lilydale. So I can just see that you would need to do that kind of training.
Constantly. I mean, every medium, no matter how many years they've been doing it, everyone I know still is constantly training because there's so many different things. I've never been to Lilydale. I, of course, know of it, but I live literally 10 minutes from where spiritualism started here on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. I live 10 minutes from a city that's called Summerland, which mm-hmm. is very spiritual. And it was where a man, and I can't remember his name, but he bought basically up the city area and was going, he wanted to create a spiritualist community. And he was selling the plots for $25. I don't know how big the plots were, but and he only had a few takers. I think that it never like really took off. And then they brought the train through, you know, there was all kinds of things. And then the mm-hmm. church ended up getting moved to downtown Santa Barbara. But it's kind of fun, the history, to, you know, live in one of the areas. Uh-huh. And I pass by the original church all the time and everything.
Oh, wonderful. Yep. So the next thing I want to talk about, and tell me what you've learned. It seems that people go to mediums to talk to family members or loved ones, humans who have passed. Mm-hmm. But there's other realms that are on the other side that aren't human or that aren't your relatives. In other words, maybe there's your spirit guides who might have been human at one point, but maybe not. And then you have the angel realm that maybe they've never been human. Probably not. Are there any angels who have been human? But anyway, when you're a medium, do you get insights and messages from the other realms as well?
You know, it depends. Everyone's different. So I do get angelic messages. And I've actually literally clairvoyantly seen Archangel Michael, which was a pretty amazing experience. But it's funny, I don't get spirit guides very often. So I just kind of go with the flow and, you know, what comes through, but it's pretty obvious who's what and, you know, how they're moving in and what the information is that they give you, you know. And I have to say, when I'm working with the angelic realm, I think I have to be at a certain level too. Mm-hmm. And then the power is so, it's such a high vibration. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do. And you, there's people from, I mean, I believe in ETs and I, you know, believe in aliens. I mean, there's all kinds of beings from different places.
Well, one of the things that, and if I'll reframe it and use maybe a little bit different language, in shamanism, from the things that I've learned, the things that are heightened for me are the intuitions and tapping into realms of different vibratory potential. And the realms that I'm in spiritual classes with a teacher for the past, I don't know, 5 or 7 years, but we're learning about the different magical realms.
Fine.
So in shamanism, when I was taught in the Peruvian shamanism, we were asked to ally with power animals, and different animals have different characteristics and attributes that you would want to practice with, like the fearlessness of a jaguar and the ability to track, to discern something into the unknown. The ability of the eagle to see the bigger picture. We're asked to ally with those power animals to gain characteristics that they have that you yourself might not have. But I've been exploring into the magical realm. So when fairies help you, when dragons help you, they're very different energies. Very different energies. Or, you know, is it like many cultures believe in the little people?
Right.
I happen to be sort of fans of the dragons, so I've been working with them for several years, but it's a whole different energy. So I was just wondering, how do you sort out, like, do when people come to you and they want to talk to their father who passed away, do you then focus in on the crossed over human? How do you sort that out?
Yeah, you know, I guess that's a good question. I don't feel like I've had to sort it out. It just comes through, you know, it just comes through that way for me. So I think you set your intention and then one thing I'm really big about is boundaries as well. Like I've set the intention when I'm working with a client, then you please bring through the information. But when I'm not, unless it's an emergency, really somebody really has to get through. I said, I'm here to live my human life as well.
Right.
As being a medium. And I think a lot of people, when they first start, the boundaries aren't very murky. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I woke up and, you know, 5 dead people were sitting on the edge of my bed. And I'm like, okay, you can control that. And it's important to, because quite frankly, you burn out, or you can be totally, you know, it's just not healthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell the story in my book, Maximize Your Healing Power, that came out a year ago, May.
This one.
Yeah, that one. Thank you. I tell the story of a young man who showed up at my office on a Friday night at the end of the day, the end of the week, and in total anxiety and freak out, psychiatric freak out. And he was not my patient. And I was not charitable in my thinking. It was like, oh my God, Friday night, you got to be kidding. He's psychiatric. What if he's psychotic? What if he's suicidal? I'm going to have to call the police to cart him off. But it went on and on and on. But when I something, you know, went, and everybody who watches my shows knows one of my biggest things is listen, because when spirit tells you the messages, you know, be ready to listen, to, you know, suspend your disbelief.
100%.
Something said, now I guess I am, I don't, if I get intuition, I don't hear it, although it happens in my left ear. I get a knowing, and I get, sometimes I get an image or a word that comes across my movie screen. Something said, sit down and listen to him. Don't jump ahead on all these assumptions that he's psychiatric and what are you going to do? What medicine are you going to call him? What, you know, commit him to the mental hospital. And he said he had dreams and he saw things that happened. And they were bad things and they were about, you know, that were going to happen to his mother's friends, are going to happen to all these people. And it had him shook. So I'm thinking, okay, is he hallucinating? Is he, you know, he was a young man. Is he about to become a schizophrenic? I asked his girlfriend, is what he sees true? Do they come true? She said, yes. So then all of a sudden, and then, you know, I think God put us together, because had I been another doctor who might not have been open to the idea of the other side or intuition, I would have shut this guy down. But all of a sudden, I knew this guy is an unbelievable intuitive. This guy is getting messages. But his deal is he hasn't put up his personal boundaries. Excuse me. He's too porous. So he is being bombarded by opening up to connect to all these different realms, and his personal self is not protected.
Yeah, that's a scary time when that happens for people.
He was freaked. But you know, Annie, when I said to him, you're not crazy, I changed his life.
They want to cry. It's like it's.
Well, God told me this. So, I mean, I'm going to cry too. I'm not going to say I, but that moment changed his life. I said, you have to shut it off. You have to choose when you open and practice and practice and be disciplined. And it turns out he was from a Romani family and he had relatives. I said, you're going to go talk with them and get them to help you learn how to shut it off and only open when you choose.
So important. I mean, I would have to say that is like number one. I mean, a lot of I used to teach some beginner intuitive classes, and I can't tell you how many people were getting sick because they were being woken up all night by people or or you know, having weird things, or they were bombarding other people with their things as they were coming in. They were like spewing them out. And it was like, whoa, some people aren't ready to hear things, you know? So it's all those boundaries are so important.
And what I've learned in shamanism is when you set up a connector, and I kind of see it like you're a spaceship and there's a docking station and some other little spaceship, you know, docks onto you, that you open that connector where the current, the energy field is shared, you can take in real toxicity. It's not just that you get drained and you're bombarded, but you can take in bad juju, and you don't want to do that. So that is a discipline you have to do. I'm certain. But you know, that's kind of what I want. I keep hoping mainstream medicine will open more to the value of the intuitive, to the value of the unseen world.
I'm hoping. I have to say, I went to a doctor for my thyroid, because I have thyroid issues, and she said to me, you know, I know you're spiritual. Can I talk to you about something kind of off, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, sure. You know, and she kind of like leaned in and she said, you know, I was working with this woman and all of a sudden I saw a black cloud go over her chest. And she said, and I kept blinking my eyes and like, whoa, what's going on? And she said, and I turned to her and I said, have you had a mammogram recently? And she said, my patient said, yeah, I did 6 months ago. And she said, everything was okay with it. And she said, yeah. And she goes, you know, I don't want to put fear into you, but I really think you should go get another mammogram. And she did, and she had breast cancer. And she said, this doctor, she was so freaked out by her experience. And I said, what a gift. You just saved that woman's life. And she was like, you know, I haven't been able to flip it. You know, I hadn't been able to flip it that way yet. And she said, go ahead.
There's such shame in the mainstream medicine and how we're taught you have to have a randomized control, double blind study, and you have to have the evidence. And they talk about the art of medicine, which is something your older professors who were back in the old days might do, but nobody owns up to that intuitive side. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, every one of us has it. And every one of us has times where you just know something is bad.
Right.
And that's not valued. And you're considered too woo-woo and not scientific. I'll just share a quick aside. I'm working with a woman to apply to give a TED talk.
Oh.
And I thought it might sell, be able to catch their interest more if I talk about, you know, a medical doctor seeing such and such. Well, they want, if I'm going to come as a medical doctor, I have to bring scientific research with me.
Interesting. That's interesting.
Now, that was just one venue, but I'm like, well, the whole point of what I do has nothing to do with proven scientifically, because I don't buy into that scientific materialistic, you know, that materialism. Anyway,
yeah,
that's a story for another day.
It's a fascinating. I was actually working as a medium with a woman, and she has stage 4 breast cancer. And I said to her, you know, right at the beginning, I said, I'm not a medical intuitive. I always, you know, disclaim that. And I said, but I keep hearing that you should check out, and I keep hearing new, and I keep hearing German, and I don't know, I have no idea what it is. I'm not understanding how it goes together. And she said 4 or 5 days later, she texted me and she goes, oh my God. She goes, I was just at whoever she went to. And the woman said, you know, you should try the new German treatment. And she said, she almost like fell off the stool. Cause she's like, mm-hmm. I said, you know what, if it's supposed to come, it'll come again. You know, like it'll, if you're supposed to pay attention, you'll get the message again. But I was like, wow. Yeah. I had a partner who lost his sense of smell, and they did everything. They ran every test. It was after a virus. And I have to give my doctor credit. She told him, there's nothing more I can do with Western Med, but I really suggest you go check out like Eastern Med or naturopaths, mm-hmm. or whatever, but I really, maybe they can help you. And
Well,
I've
California is a little bit more on the
open.
front, on the front lines. We have about 4 minutes left, Annie. Can
That's
you tell the listeners, do you have events that you do, or since you do clients, how would they reach you and work with you?
sure. Thank you very much for that. You can go into my website. It's under my name, Nancy Shobe. It hasn't been changed to Annie, nancyshobe.com. Or I'm also known as the Spirited Filly because I have a huge heart and have worked with horses. And I actually was trained for Reiki with horses too. So you can do the spiritedphilly.com and it gives all the different services that I offer and you can book right through my website that way.
And do you have classes? Do you teach anything?
I do. And you can also sign up for my mailing list. And when my new classes right now, I don't have any classes. I've finished them, but I will be starting a new set. And so if you sign up for my email, I promise you, I'm not one of those people that bombards people with 25 emails a week. I think I send out one or two a month, but you'll get an email of when I'm hosting classes.
Wonderful. Is there something you want from what you've seen from the other side? Is there a message you want people to know?
Now you're gonna make now I really feel like I'm gonna the number one thing is believe in miracles. Miracles happen. They can happen so fast. It's just amazing. There, what can happen is the only thing that limits us is our own belief system. So I really always tell people, I've seen miracles, not just in my mediumship, but in my actual real life. I've seen miracles happen. So believe, just believe. And also listen to what your guidance is telling you. I really feel like we're being called right now to be still with ourselves and just listen to what's coming to you. And then, as a friend of mine used to say to me, he was a spiritual mentor of mine, and unfortunately, he just passed. But he used to say to me, you're getting all the messages, darling, but you're just not listening to them. And he's like, you gotta buck up, cupcake, and go for
A
it.
buck up cupcake.
So I'll just leave that with everyone. Buck up, cupcake.
And what I'll leave everybody with is we have so many resources in the unseen world, and we have to get out of that technological sensory ex stimulation, deepen in to hear spirit talking. Usually I do it in nature. And then you can really open up. There's a world of things ready to help you. So,
Love it.
Nancy Annie Shobe, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank
Emily,
you.
thanks for behind the scenes work. Everybody, I'm Doc Martin, Maximum Medicine. I have a good rest of the evening, and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Maximum Medicine Radio with Doc Martin. Tune in next time while the doc talks health, spirituality, and the impact your beliefs have on every part of who you are, body and soul. Doc Martin unpacks the challenges we face as human beings and teaches callers to open the door between the scientific and the mystical. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.sharonmartinmd.com.